And joining me right now here on the phone line to go latest on Florida Gator football and basketball, he's got his great job covering the team with High Top Sports. He's my good friend, David Sutterquist. David, how you doing today?
Good, man. It's been busier now. You got basketball coming into March Madness, and you got some of the spring camps going on in football and baseball season also in season there too. So you got a lot of things going on at one time. So it's been keeping me pretty busy.
How proud are you of Todd Golden in year two, getting this program back on track? Like you said, back in the tournament, they're going to play later this week, using the transfer portal. He's done everything right. What are your thoughts on Todd Golden?
Yeah, I mean, he's done remarkable things for the basketball team, and so quick, like you said, in year two. And talking about the transfer portal and how it works now, like, you know, I've said before, sometimes a recruiting class, a high school recruiting class, may not matter because they may transfer elsewhere. But in basketball, it seems like you can really take advantage of the transfer portal more than you can in football. Mm-hmm. And Todd Golden's done a good job of evaluating the talent in the transfer portal, getting them into the University of Florida. Now, I think, what, they've won 20 games since – it's been a while since they've won, like, over 20 games. Am I not correct?
And the other stat that's, like, really – I mean, mind-boggling crazy. I think it's the highest scoring – team where there's getting like 85 a game for average for the team in the history of Florida basketball. I didn't even believe that stat. I know you're probably hearing this for the first time as well.
Yeah, I was actually shocked, you know, when they go and play Alabama, they lose in overtime, but then they come back and even two times in a row, they put up over 100 on Alabama, and Alabama's good basketball team. They got a really good basketball team. They'll be in that tournament too, I'm sure. But like, it's getting to a point now to where, like, you know, you look at Florida's basketball team and what Todd Golden has done, and now you're even waiting for year three now. You're like, okay, well, no matter what happens this year, now I want to see what happens year three, four, five, and et cetera, what's going on down the road. So he's really turned it around. I'm actually very impressed from, you know, obviously where Mike White added, he had to Georgia, and then now you got Todd Golden here at Florida. I mean, he's really done, I would say, a 180. Not a 360, but a 180 to the basketball program.
David, do you like the stat? You bring up Mike White, and Mike White's a nice guy. I've met him multiple times, and he's got family in this area. All right, I get it. But do you like it where Todd Golden's now 5-0 against Georgia and Mike White?
Oh, of course. Who wouldn't as a Florida Gator fan? You know, your biggest rival, the SEC, as some people would put it. Some people think Florida State is. If you live in Florida, me, I live in Georgia, so it's the biggest rival for me. It means a lot. Especially in football, but man, when you can do that to them in basketball, okay, well, you got one victory in football over us, but we got five over you in basketball. So you could always, you know, it makes good for, I guess, a little bit of trash talking if you wanted to.
Did you get sucked in over the last couple of days just watching Gator basketball?
Yeah, I'll admit I'm a big time football guy. I mainly cover football. I'm not the biggest basketball expert, but the way that they were playing and the way they've been pulling these games off, I'm not gonna lie. I started watching a couple of games down the stretch, and I was just like, man, they got a good basketball team this year. And as you said, offensively, averaging over 85 or over 80 points per game. I mean, that's pretty remarkable considering where they were maybe a year or two ago.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's a great story. They're going to play on Friday around 4:30 or so. We don't know the opponent yet as of this taping, like on a Monday. So we'll keep you up to date. But yeah, look, dude, I thought 3 weeks ago I'm going to bring you on. We're just going to talk football. So I will take it. What is, before we get to spring practice, one more for the Gator basketball program.
Yeah.
What is the standard for basketball? Mine is, and I want yours, mine is you're a top 25 team, you make the tournament every year. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, and I've kind of noticed, you know, Florida did lose the SEC championship to Auburn yesterday, but I, from what I know and what I've been told by a lot of basketball people, it's like sometimes you don't really want to win the conference because that could mess up your seeding, or you could be seated somewhere else in the tournament, and you may be going to – I heard something that, like, somebody may be going to Russia or something to play their first game.
What?
Yeah, I heard something like that. So it's kind of crazy, but I mean, like, I think that you stay in the top 25, as you said, you make the tournament every year because whether you win your conference or not, if you can make it into that tournament and even win that tournament, nobody's going to really care if you win the conference or anything like that. So I think Florida, they positioned themselves pretty well. Of course, that gruesome injury to Hogleton at the beginning of that game yesterday. That was just a bad thing. So prayers out to him and his family, and he seems to be doing well. I mean, I think his mom has posted some things on social media saying he's doing well. He's recovering pretty well. So that's a good thing to hear. But other than that, man, I mean, as far as that taking a little bit of gas out of Florida, I mean, look, they're right there in the heart of things, and the tournament obviously will figure it out between who they got to play. I think it's Colorado and somebody else. They have to figure out who they're going to be playing first in that tournament. So, yeah, I mean, it's a feather in the cap for sure. I mean, as where the basketball program was, you finally got in the top 25, you cracked it, now you're into the tournament. Now let's see how much damage they can do in the tournament. I filled out a bracket earlier today, and I have Florida winning maybe the first two. We'll see if they can get past whoever is in that third, whatever, and maybe even hit you. Maybe you get a Sweet 16 spot. And even if you don't get out of the Sweet 16, that's still a big feather in the cap for Todd Golden.
Yeah, I agree with you. We're here with David Soderquist, High Top Sports. Let's go to football. And the obvious question, all right, Gator basketball could get stuff done. Football, all right, guys, what are you doing right now? Because we want to be a competitive team again. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, because, I mean, you look around the landscape of, I guess, every other sport, and, like, I'm not going to say every head coach has came in and worked wonders and started winning right away, but a lot of them didn't get worse from year one to year two. Like, I would have to figure out a statistic on that. But, yeah, I mean, it's time that the Florida football team is, I mean, look, how long has it been? I mean, we will have good years, and then all of a sudden something will happen to just crush that good year that we're having. The 2020 LSU game or the Will Grier PED thing. It'll always be something every single year that keeps Florida just enough or just away from, you know, having that success. And I think, you know, when Dan Mullen came in here, he was having that sustained success at the beginning. Obviously, his recruiting prowess is what eventually doomed him and kind of just checking out towards the end. And then, you know, Billy Napier, he comes in, he has to deal with a sort of a mess that Dan Mullen gave him. But right now, it's year three. There's no excuses now. Like, there should be an improved team. You've got 68% of your production returning for this year. You have a phenomenal quarterback, I think, in DJ Lagway backing up Graham Mertz, who will be in his second year. And we'll see what kind of step that he takes in year two. So, I mean, I think year three, I know the schedule is tough and it's rough, but, I mean, you look at the first half of that schedule, very winnable games there. Your toss-ups, you got to win the toss-ups. If you get a close game, and Napier's had a knack for doing this, getting in these close games and figuring out a way to lose, now these close games, you're going to have to figure out a way to win, especially if you're quote-unquote on the hot seat, according to some of the media out there.
What have you seen from Lagway so far?
We actually got to talk to Zach Goodall from SI. We had him on High Top last week, and we've seen clips, and I'm pretty sure, Mark, you've seen clips of some of the camps and the practices. And obviously, the live arm is there. You see the arm strength. You see the perfect spirals that he throws. But the thing that really stood out to me the most from DJ Lagway and a lot of the clips that I had saw was his ball placement. I mean, these balls were thrown in the right spot where they're supposed to be, not too underthrown, not too overthrown. Talked to Zach Goodall a little bit, and I said, hey, you were there live. I know you guys only get like 15 minutes into the camps and all that. What were your thoughts on Lagway? And he said, for the most part, yes, every throw was perfect, on time, should have been. He said there was a couple of throws. He had one to Eugene Wilson that kind of went behind him, but Eugene, you know how he is a good wide receiver. He was able to scoop it up anyway and catch the football. So far, DJ Lagway, I mean, he looked the part. He weighed in at 241 when he came into camp. And if you look at the size of the dude's arms and his legs, man, yeah, I mean, that kid's college ready. He's ready to play ball.
Is he one of the most important recruits to ever come to the University of Florida?
Yes. I'll say yes only because of just where the University of Florida is at right now. The future of the University of Florida, I've read a couple articles here on some of these high four-star, five-star recruits saying, well, you know, maybe Napier didn't have a good start, but we know that DJ Lagway is going to be the quarterback of the future. So that's a big thing for them to want to at least consider the University of Florida on the recruiting trail. So, I mean, just in that, in an aspect, like DJ Lagway could probably recruit himself without having to have Billy Napier help him out, you know? So, it is important. You want to keep Lagway there. I mean, you go and you look back at some of the quarterbacks that are behind Graham Mertz, and obviously I don't want to say that those guys are worthless or anything, but it's like, come on. I mean, there's a huge difference between some of the other guys, that third and fourth string quarterback and DJ Lagway. I mean, you've got a quarterback that's already built college ready, has the skills. You see the stats in high school. You saw the awards that he won. So, yes, he is a very important commodity, and I guarantee you that Florida's going to have to fight to keep him there per NIL, because I know certain teams will probably try to get DJ Lagway to maybe transfer because of the way the portal is. But DJ Lagway has even said that he's here to stay at Florida as long as Billy Napier is here.
Seriously, if you're the starting quarterback of the University of Florida right now, Mertz, what are you thinking here in spring practice?
That's a tough one. You know, I've read some of the interviews, and I've listened to Graham Mertz and Lagway, and it's the feeling between them is obviously just getting each other better. There's competition, obviously. There's obviously competition in the quarterback room, but they don't look at it as competition. I think you know that Graham Mertz is going to be the starting quarterback here at the University of Florida. And Graham Mertz, look, he had pretty good statistics last year, 72% completion rating. He would have passed for over 3,000 yards if he wasn't hurt the Florida State game. So those are pretty good stats. I think a lot of people are waiting for Graham Mertz to take that next step, like the Kyle Trask did from 2019 to 2020, mm-hmm. Maybe get some deep shots out there. Show us more of that arm that you have. And I think, you know, even if you have to sacrifice some of your completion rating, or maybe you throw a couple more picks, is it worth, you know, just trying to play it safe, doing your checkdowns and just trying to get that first down? Or is it worth taking risks? Because I think what fans want to see more from Graham Mertz is him taking more risks, him taking more shots down the field. You know, you go back to his time at Wisconsin. Maybe there's a little bit of, you know, maybe not even really PTSD, but maybe he looks back at some of the things he did at Wisconsin. He doesn't want to make those mistakes now, so he's being a little bit extra careful. But I think, you know, in order for Graham Mertz to, you know, stay starting quarterback, compete a little bit, I think he's going to have to be a little bit more consistent, take some more shots down the field. But I can't complain about what Graham Mertz has done so far at the University of Florida. He's been pretty productive. I would like to see his offensive line get a little bit better and not have him sacked 28 times and pressured over 100 times. that would be a start. So I think a lot of the reasons why you never really saw Graham Mertz take a lot of risks last year was also because of the pressure on the offensive line.
Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot. Who are the wide receivers for this team? Because there's no more Ricky Pearsall as your go-to guy. Who are the guys now?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. Obviously, you're going to think Eugene Wilson right off the bat when, you know, you look at what he did last year, you know, catching for over 500 yards and, you know, being the most productive wide receiver out there besides Ricky Pearsall going to the NFL. And, you know, you got to look at some of the older names there, like the Marcus Burks, the Jaquavion Frazier's, some of those types of guys. I mean, like, those are guys that have been here at the University of Florida for a while. I mean, you got Shamir Dickey coming in as well from the transfer from Wisconsin. Has a little bit of familiarity there with Graham Mertz. So I think those are the older wide receivers that kind of need to just go ahead and you're wanting to see more consistency out of him. I think Marcus Burke would make a great wide receiver. I just need to see more of consistency. You also, I mean, you have T.J. Abrams, who just came in, and Andy Jean, and Jeray Hawkins, who's running a 4.25 out there. He looks impressive just from a speed-wise standpoint. And even if he doesn't play wide receiver, you can also put him on special teams. You also have Aiden Mazzell, a guy, another speedy wide receiver, who ran, I believe, a 10.4800-meter when he was in high school. There's a lot of speed on this team, and I think that you know, there's going to be a good, healthy competition there. I think some of the older guys might start out playing and just because of the experience factor. But I think you're really going to see some of these guys in this 2023 class, like your Andy G's, your Aiden Mazzell's, really starting to step up and add some speed to the backfield. So I think it's going to be a good, healthy competition back then in the wide receiver part of it. But I expect there to be at least maybe, I don't know, maybe two experienced wide receivers out there on the field, and maybe some of these 2023 guys out there running around. But that's just my take on that.
Okay, running back, same question then.
Oh, yeah. I obviously, you got to put Montrell Johnson there at the start. I actually did write an article about Treon Webb and Jaden Baugh and Kanan Daniels. And look, I mean, a good problem to have is deciding who's going to back up Montrell Johnson, which Montrell Johnson's had pretty consistent 800-yard years and averaging over 5 yards per carry while sharing with snaps with Trevor Etienne, who's over at Georgia now. So, I mean, that's going to be your main back. And then Tran Webb, he's been there. He's a redshirt freshman. He's coming back. He dealt with some injuries in high school, but he's looking, I think he's around 213, 220 right now. You also got Jaden Baugh, who's listed at 237 on the roster. He's a big guy. He averaged 14 yards per carry in high school. Didn't only played 1 year there where he was at in high school, but very impressive from what you've seen. Of course, Kanan Daniels, a Mississippi guy, who averaged 10 yards per carry and almost 11 yards per carry his whole year. He's rushed for over 5,000 yards. So I think Florida did a really, really good job in evaluating the running. Maybe not the highest starred running backs, maybe the ones that maybe you look at and say, well, this guy could be good. I think Florida did really, really good job in evaluating those running backs this year in this class. And I think, and to me, I'm more impressed with Kanan Daniels. Like, he's 196 right now, so I have to put on a little bit more weight to get college weight ready. But either way, I'm happy with any running back that they pick on here. I would assume Tre'on Webb would get the backup spot to Montrell Johnson just based on the fact he has been there for a year. He's learned the system. But as we've seen in the past, and we saw it Billy Napier's first year, he's not afraid to put a freshman out there on the field and have them start right behind Montrell Johnson.
We're here with David Soderquist. He is with High Top Sports talking Gator spring ball. Let's go to the defense. And I'll put you on the spot. What's your biggest question mark here in spring practice for the defensive side of the ball?
I would say biggest question, maybe linebacker, if you look at it, who's going to actually just maybe start. I mean, there's a lot of talent that you got in just from the transfer portal. I mean, you look at Grayson Howard, a guy that came in from South Carolina, really coveted prospect there. He just came in. You got Tyreek Satt there playing at edge. But if you look at, Miles Graham, a guy that is from, came from Buholz and, came and played in Georgia for a little bit and then transferred back to Florida. I mean, this is a guy, he's 222 on the roster right now. If you looked at him in the Under Armour game, you looked at just some of his film, like, he's almost as college ready as a freshman can be at that spot right there. So I'd say look at him. And also Derek Wingo. I mean, this kid, he's went through probably 5 linebacker coaches. He's been vocal about it on social media, but he's had a positive attitude towards it. I think it's time for somebody like him to be a leader, step up, maybe, get that starting role that he's been waiting for there. He's listed at 242. And of course you got RJ Moten, who just, he was a safety. Now he's moved to linebacker there. Does he get some sort of a starting spot? And then of course you got Deuce Spurlock and some of the other guys from the transfer portal. I think that linebacker spot is really going to be the one that's like, you'll scratch your head. You can probably make up 2 starters right now for the linebacker spot. But when you look at just how the whole roster is made up and how much talent that's there, I always say a good problem to have, but the more bodies you got, the more good bodies you got, the better you can get at that position. So I would say linebacker would be the most, I guess, confusing spot, but I think the biggest improvement on the defense this year will be the defensive line. I mean, there's just so much talent on that defensive line and so much experience. And I didn't know if you want to get into all of that, but I think, a lot of times, even last year with the defense, that they weren't getting any pressure. And I think that's what really made it really, obviously those breakdowns in the backfield, you have a lot more time as a quarterback to have your wide receivers run around and maybe some of the DBs fall over or something. And, I think a lot of the backfield suffered from the lack of pressure the defensive line was getting. But I think that there's a lot of talent, especially with Joey Slackman, Cam Jackson returning, got Justice Boone on the edge. I mean, Kelly Collins. I mean, there's just so much talent in this defensive line. And I think they're going to make the biggest push this year on the defense.
Are you going to the spring game?
I will be there. I have to be there because, I mean, it is on a Saturday, and we haven't had a spring game on a Saturday in 2 years. And everybody, and I know there's going to be a lot of things to talk about and discuss, but I know everybody is going to want to see how good does DJ Lagway look.
There's going to be this roar in the stadium when he's going to complete his first pass, and people are going to be like, oh, and they're just going to be losing their minds. And there's going to be so many like things on Twitter. I mean, it's going to be crazy, right? You, and this is the thing, you can't be like, oh, sorry, he can't play in the game, right? No, no. Everyone's going to want to see him, correct, David?
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, you have to let DJ Lagway play this game. We'll see DJ Lagway. And also, even Billy Major alluded to it in our press conference. He clued in a little bit. I think you're going to see a little bit of Lagway this year, too, maybe in some packages or some run-style packages. Yeah, we had Stephen Harris on High Top. He's part of our High Top crew, but we had him on our Wednesday show to discuss, you know, because he played with Tim Tebow and Chris Leak. So we were discussing, like, okay, how can this work with Mertz and Lagway? And really good, good solid interview there for about 20 minutes. If you haven't checked it out there, check it out on hightopsports.com. But, yeah, I mean, I think we're going to see a lot of it just based on the fact that it's like, you know, Billy Napier runs that RPO offense. You're better with in an RPO offense with a dual threat quarterback. That's just how it is, right? You know, Lagway, obviously you can look on video and you can say he probably runs around a 4.5, maybe even a top 4.4. Who knows? But you know, at least he's got that 4.5 speed. So how do you utilize that speed? How do you throw off a defense? You know, whether it's going to be called a pass play or a run play, you know, can you throw them off and maybe get you a chunk down the field, maybe a deep ball, something like that. I think DJ Lagway is too talented to not see him in some sort of capacity on the field this year.
We're here with David Soderquist. He is with High Top Sports. You know, I want to ask you about recruiting, but like, I don't know. What's the latest? All right, I'll ask the question. What's the latest of the 2025 class?
I wish I could give you the latest. Right now, everything's still up in the air. You've got your visits. There's going to be a lot of visitors on the spring game. They're still updating the visitor list there. I know Pickett's a big name at safety that everybody's looking at, and he actually recently released a top five that didn't have Florida in it, but then he had turned around, I think, what was it, a day later, and said he was going to consider Florida and visit Florida. So, I mean, I guess that puts us back into the top schools. So that's a big name that's out there. You also got five-star wide receiver Cunningham, who actually did just talk about DJ Lagway. I just posted it. He's going to be visiting at some point. I mean, there's just so much, and it's so early in March. Like, I mean, you don't really get into the nitty-gritty of recruiting until you hit around that summertime, like that June, July. Sometimes even in end of May, you really start getting into like all the visits and everything. And now they're going to have it looks like they're going to have a new rule to where, you know, kids can sign during the summer period. So they're not having to go through the recruiting process if they really know where they want to go. I mean, you see a lot of kids go through the recruiting process, but they only have one school in mind. Like they know where they're going to go at the end of the cycle. So it's a benefit for some of those kids to sign during the summer so they don't have to be bugged by coaches and all sorts of stuff. So I think that's a good thing that they've done for kids there. And it's just going to get wild, man. Summer will be more. There's going to be more attention based in the summer if that new rule does pass. But, yeah, as far as, like, recruiting, especially at the beginning, I mean, you're going to have your commits. Like, the Peyton, obviously, Rob Sale, he got a high offensive lineman that just committed. So I think a lot of Florida Gator fans are just saying, okay, well, I'm going to pump the brakes because last summer we had the number 3 class, and then we wound up at like the number 16 class at the end, and then we were able to bump it back up to like around the number 11 towards National Signing Day and transfer portal and stuff. So I think a lot of Florida Gator fans are excited about recruiting, but of course they will pump the brakes this year just based on what happened last year.
David Soderquist, he's with High Top Sports. Well, man, thank you so much for coming on, and enjoy the tournament over the next couple of days.
You know I will, Mark. I hope you do too, man.